remember the bitter sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus. Our hearts are heavy with sorrow and contrition as we dwell on our sins. The hymn of invocation is hymn 172, stanzas 6 through 10.
Thank you.
He was despised and rejected of all, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we knew him not. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each of us to our own ways, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Please be seated.
The first reading is written in the 23rd chapter of St. Luke. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Our first responsive reading. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them. We now sing stanza 1 of hymn 143. The second scripture reading is written in the 23rd chapter of St. Luke. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Here ends the reading. Our second responsive reading. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor chasten me in your displeasure. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? We sing stanzas 2 and 3 of hymn 143. The third reading is written in the 19th chapter of St. John. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Here ends the reading. The third responsive reading. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto you. My days are like a shadow that wanes, and I am withered like the grass. We sing stanza 4 of hymn 143. The fourth reading is written in the 27th chapter of St. Matthew. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Here ends the reading. The fourth responsive reading. My God, why have you forsaken me? O my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. We sing the fifth stanza of hymn 143. The fifth reading is written in the 19th chapter of St. John. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Here ends the reading. The fifth responsive reading. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. They put gall in my food. We sing the sixth stanza of hymn 143. The sixth reading is written in the 19th chapter of St. John, the 30th verse. When he had received a drink, Jesus said, It is finished. Here ends the reading. The sixth responsive reading. O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, neither chasten me in your displeasure. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long. My heart pants, my strength fails me, the light of my eyes is gone from me. We sing the seventh stanza of hymn 143. The seventh reading is written in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 46th verse. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Here ends the reading. The seventh responsive reading. Out of the depths I have cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, and let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Into your hands I commit my spirit.
Please rise for prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you do not desire the death of sinners, but rather you desire that we should turn from our wicked ways and live. We plead with you to forgive us from those punishments which we by our sins have deserved, and grant to us grace ever hereafter to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the sermon hymn, hymn 153.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this evening is from the Gospel of St. John, as you have heard read. And specifically, we'll be covering tonight the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer, but deliver us from evil. Please be seated. Victory. Our victory song is that the stronger man has bound the strong man and plundered his goods. Our Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the devil, and in answer to the prayer that he has taught us, the prayer that we have been covering these midweek services, is that our victorious Christ has delivered us from the evil one. Tonight, we sing a song of victory, the glorious battle, the ending of the conflict. In mercy, God looked on us when we were shamed and sunk in misery. Through our first parents, we fell headlong into death and destruction and misery. Just like Israel, who went into Egypt with a promise of deliverance, they ended up becoming slaves. Just like Jerusalem, when the satanic Nebuchadnezzar came and dishonored them, he tore them from their homes and took them into exile in Babylon. Yet, we are not completely naive. We are not just mere victims. We actually deserve what the devil has offered. It is us, we, who pick up the shackles of sin and put them on our hands and on our feet. We even choose the evil one to be our Lord instead of God Almighty. And therefore, man deserves to remain eternally separated and eternally enslaved by the hellish master, Satan. Thanks be to God, though, that our Creator is full of grace and mercy. He lifted His countenance upon us and has promised to rescue us. As a serpent had overcome by a tree, so God Almighty commanded that by another tree the devil would be overcome. The devil had been very, very crafty when it came to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But with greater skill and greater cunning, God laid the plot that when the devil came raving against the cross, your Lord would bear it and use it against the old evil foe as a more noble tree to accomplish your redemption. Paul writes to the Galatians, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Yet not as a mighty warrior did the Son come to deliver us. Not with the plagues of Egypt did He decimate the devil's kingdom, but in weakness He came, in frail human flesh, the offspring of a virgin. Behold, as an infant, He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In glorious wonder, His infant hands were bound in swaddling clothes that would soon be nail-scarred hands and the devil's undoing. Yet His hands are not only human hands, they are the hands of God. In the manger rested the mighty hand and the outstretched arm that had overcome Pharaoh
and led his people out of Egypt. For 30 years, the Son of God dwelt among us. And when the time came for him to take the field of battle against the old evil foe, long had the curse stood against the ancient serpent. It goes all the way back to the garden. God said to him, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Long had the devil known the outcome of the battle. Yet the evil one is the Lord of lies. He disdains God's word. The devil never considered, he never considered that the cross of Christ, would be the fiery weapon that would utterly destroy him forever. Jesus fearlessly entered into his passion for which he was born. He endured the nails, the spitting, the vinegar, the thorns, the blows, the mocking, and even the most horrible of all punishments, the full wrath of his Father. Jesus was forsaken. His holy, innocent blood flowed from his wounded side as he hung as the Lamb, the very Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. Even in his weakness, our Lord Jesus proved that he is stronger than the devil. Indeed, he is even stronger than the combined strength of sin, death, and the devil. Jesus' crucifixion is his bruised heel. How then devastated must be the devil who now has had his head crushed? Jesus is considered to have the lesser wound after experiencing such suffering and death. So then the devil will even suffer more and more and die an even worse death. The devil will die the second death. He will die eternally as he is cast into the lake of fire along with his demons and all humans who follow him. Satan has been doomed, yet he too awaits the final judgment. In the meantime, he will watch his kingdom slowly fall to pieces. His subjects will slowly be snatched from him. His evil plots will one day come crashing down onto his evil head. Dear ones, you and I are former subjects of Satan. Jesus, by his death, has breached the wall of Satan's palace, and he has rescued you, and he has rescued me. In our Lord's death, the Father has answered the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer, but deliver us from evil. And as St. Paul wrote to the Colossians, the Father has delivered us from the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Tonight is actually a celebration. It doesn't look like a celebration. It doesn't seem like a celebration. But we are celebrating tonight our Lord's victory. And at the same time, we remember and we ever remain mindful of our unworthiness. Jesus has delivered us from the devil's kingdom. And now, how have we repaid him? We listen all too often to Satan's lures and his enticements, his temptations. We believe the world and run after things of this world which will not save us. And we let old Adam, have his way with us, and we half-heartedly follow our crucified Lord. Good Friday is not about misery, and it's definitely not a funeral service for Jesus. But rather, Good Friday is about the work of Jesus Christ for you upon His cross. It really is about victory. And the victory that He has won for you and me, He has won upon His bloody throne. So this night, my dear brother and sister, this night especially, this is our victory song. Lord, have mercy. Deliver us from evil. And He continues, and He continues, and He continues to have mercy on us. And He keeps you as His own, so that we may live under Him in His kingdom. Blessed to be to our Father in heaven, and through the Son, who has delivered us from the evil one, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, who has granted us repentance and faith. Glory be to the Holy Trinity forever and ever. O Lord, deliver us from evil. Amen. Please stand as we now pray the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me.